presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, Phantom Lady. The starring players...
This is Ralph Bellamy.
This is Louise Albritton.
This is Walter Abel.
And this is David Bruce. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in Universal Pictures' The Phantom Lady, an exciting study of a psychopathic killer by Cornell Woolrich. It stars Louise Albritton as Carol, Walter Abel as Inspector Burgess, Ralph Bellamy as Jack Marlowe, and David Bruce as Scott Henderson. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Phantom Lady.
You see, I was Scott Henderson's secretary, and not that I'd ever have let him guess, but even then I knew I was in love. That morning started like any other morning. I went into Mr. Henderson's office and switched on the dictaphone to see what instructions he'd left for me.
Good morning, Kansas.
He always called me Kansas.
Listen, I won't be in till noon. I got a meeting on the Peabody job.
I stood there,
so you'd better
listening, glad to pick up the morning paper.
And
then...
Off to
him. Mrs. Scott Henderson strangled to death. Police hold well-known engineer. I stood there, and the dictaphone ran on, and the sun came flooding in the window. And suddenly, all the world was black.
Why don't you stop? Why don't you let me go? I'm tired.
I'm tired, too. We're all tired, Henderson, all but your wife. She's dead, with your necktie knotted around her throat.
I didn't do it. How many times do I have to tell you?
All right, let's go over it again. Yesterday, you gave a little cocktail party.
That was for Jack Marlowe, my friend. He was sailing for South America.
And afterward, you planned to take your wife to dinner in the theater.
She wouldn't go. She knew I'd gotten tickets, but she laughed at me. Said she was bored. Said she couldn't stand me anymore.
So you went out and had dinner alone. Then you dropped into that little bar.
Anselmo's place on 56th. And I got to talking with that girl. The bartender saw us sitting together.
The bartender says you were alone.
I wasn't. I was sitting with that girl. She was feeling low and so was I. So I asked her to go to the theater with me.
And she said she would. So you left together and got into a cab.
That's right. Just ask the driver. He'll tell you I was with the girl.
The driver says you were alone.
He's lying. That girl went to the theater with me. We were in the first row, and the drummer in the orchestra kept smirking at her. That drummer saw her. Why don't you make him talk?
The drummer says you were alone.
Then what about the singer, Estella Montiero? She was wearing a hat. A funny hat, the kind you don't see in 100 years. And then she looked down and saw this girl's hat, and, well, she got so mad she could hardly sing.
Your companion's hat was a duplicate of hers?
That's right. Absolutely the same.
Montiero says there are no hats like hers. Hers are designed and made to order.
She's lying. They're all lying. Why are they ganging up on me? Why doesn't somebody tell the truth?
Why don't you? Why don't you tell me your girlfriend's name?
I've told you I don't know her name. She wanted it like that. Just companions for the evening. No names, no questions, nothing personal.
Then all you're sure of is the hat.
Oh, it's getting so I'm not sure of anything. I've got to find her, Inspector. I've got to find her.
That's right. Or you're going to find your neck in a noose.
Yes?
Hello. Is Miss Carol Richmond there?
This is Carol Richmond.
One moment, please. Rio de Janeiro calling.
Rio?
Ready, Rio. Go ahead.
Hello, Miss Richmond. This is Jack Marlowe.
Mr. Marlowe, you've heard.
Just read it in the papers down here, but I don't believe it. Scott wouldn't do a thing like that.
Of course he wouldn't. But they're holding him. They're trying to save him.
Maybe I better hop a plane. I could be home in a couple of
Oh, no. No, you mustn't. Mr. Henderson says it's your big chance down there. He says you'll be the greatest sculptor in the world.
He's my best friend, and he's in trouble.
Don't you worry, Mr. Marlowe. We'll work it out. We'll get the truth. Somehow, some way, we'll get the truth. The truth. It all depended on that unknown girl. The girl with the hat. The girl that no one else had seen. But they had seen her. I was sure of that. I was sure that all those witnesses had lied. Someone would have to break them down. Take them one at a time, right from the first. The first. That meant the bartender. And so I went to Anselmo's place.
Something for you, miss?
2 scotch and sodas, please.
2? You were expecting somebody, miss?
Yes. I'm waiting for Scott Henderson. That hit him hard. I could tell by the way he looked, by the way he watched me all night as I sat there at the bar, just staring at him, never saying another word. And when he left at closing time, I followed him. He managed to walk rather slowly at first, almost defiantly, as if he didn't care. And then he went a little faster. And faster. And faster, until he was almost running. And then suddenly he stopped and turned.
What do you want? Why do you keep on following me?
You have something to tell me.
You're wasting your time.
You know what's going to happen to him. You can prevent it. Get it off your conscience.
Don't ask me. Go ask the guy that gave it to me.
Gave you what?
Nothing.
It was money, wasn't it? Somebody gave you a bribe.
I ain't talking, I tell you, and I ain't staying around here either. I'm going to get so far away from here.
Look out! He was dead when they picked him up. And all my hopes of getting the truth might have died there with him. Except that next day I had a visitor. Inspector Burgess, who had handled the case against Scott.
Miss Richmond, I won't say I did my job poorly. The evidence is taking him to the chair. But, since the trial, I've done a lot of thinking.
I think you should have done it before.
Only a fool or an innocent man would have stuck to that silly alibi, and Scott's no fool, so maybe he's been telling the truth.
Are you trying to say that...
Well, officially the case is closed, but unofficially, I'd like to help. How about it?
Oh, Inspector Burgess,
No, take it easy. We got a lot of work to do. With that bartender gone, I figure that drummer is our best bet now.
Yes, maybe. He must have seen the girl. Scott said he smirked at her.
Yeah, nasty little character. You can take this report along and read all the dope we've got on him.
Reading a report won't make him talk.
Now, that's just the beginning. Suppose you rig yourself up like a cheap little dame. You know, tight dress, frizzed hair, lots of rouge and mascara.
Oh, I don't get it.
You will. You're going to that show tonight. A seat in the first row orchestra on the side where that drummer can't help but notice you.
Oh.
And when he looks at you, you look right back. And maybe you sort of give him the eye.
And maybe he tries to make a date.
No maybe about it. If he doesn't, you're slipping.
Hiya, baby. Let me have a look at you.
What do you know? You really waited.
Well, you asked me, didn't you?
I sure did. Hey, when you started giving me the eye, I come near falling right in my drums.
Oh, I'm just nuts about drums. And you play swell.
Oh, thanks, baby. Oh, by the way, the handle's Cliff. Cliff Milburn.
I'm Jeannie.
Okay, Jeannie, let's go out and get some drinks, huh?
Sure, Cliff. Then maybe later we can go up to your place and sort of have a talk.
Come on, baby. How about a little kiss, huh?
Kiss?
Why do you think we come up here? You like me, don't you?
Oh, I'm sure, Cliff. Sure.
Oh, it's more like it, Jeannie. Now, what do you think of my place?
Well, it ain't exactly what I expected, Cliff. I mean, with all the dough you made.
My dough goes on other things. And a lot of it's going to go on you, too.
Honest, Cliff? No kidding?
No kidding. I'm going to make you look class, baby. No junk, either, like this dress you got on. That dress is cheesy.
Oh, I suppose you don't like my hat either.
Nah. I'm going to stake you to a carload of hats.
Oh, Cliff, you're sweet. Oh, but just imagine you picking out hats for me.
Why not? I'm an authority on hats. Sure, I get paid for knowing about hats.
Do you, Cliff?
The dame is sitting right behind me, right where you were sitting tonight. 500 smackaroos for just looking at a dame and saying I didn't see her.
Did she give you that 500, Cliff?
Huh?
Who gave you that money?
The man. I want a cigarette.
Later, please, Cliff. What did the man say?
He says no matter who asks, I gotta say I didn't. Give me a cigarette.
I haven't got it.
Oh, sure you have. Right here in your purse.
Oh, don't open that. Please.
Why not? All I want is a cig... Hey. Hey, this paper.
Give it to me, Cliff.
A police report. It's got my name and all about me. The cops are after me. They sent you here.
Oh, no, Cliff, they didn't.
Handing me a line saying you lied to me. Trying to make me shoot off my mouth. Trying to make... Turn on that light. I can't see. Where are you? Hey, don't go. I won't hurt you. Don't go. Jeannie, come back. Come back, will you? I'm scared. I'm scared.
I'm sure, Inspector. I watched the house from across the way. That's where I phoned you, from that delicatessen. He saw, Inspector. Somebody bribed him. If we can make him talk,
I've got a warrant in my pocket.
Here. This is the door.
Now stand behind me. Don't take any chances. That's funny. The door's open.
And the lights are on.
All right, Cliff. You've got company. Come on, Cliff. Where are you?
Oh, he's gone. My purse, too. He took it with him.
He might have gone out the back. There's a flight of steps that...
That what? What's wrong?
He hasn't gone. He's here on the floor. Behind that chair.
All crumpled up. That muffler knotted around his throat.
Steady now. I'll have a look.
What is it? Is he...
Yes, girl. He's dead. And this time, it's no accident.
Lady Esther has presented Act One of Phantom Lady, starring David Bruce, Louise Allbritton, Ralph Bellamy, and Walter Abel. In just a moment, we will hear the Lady Esther Screen Guild players in Act Two. But first, a word from our hostess, Lady Esther.
Women often come to me and say, I could look just as well as so-and-so if I spent all the time on my face that she does. But is it the time? Is that the answer? Long ago, perhaps it was. But don't you realize that today there is one preparation, one face cream, that will do more for your skin in 30 seconds than the most tedious beauty routine ever accomplished? That cream is Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream. And I promise you this. No matter how rough or coarse your skin may look right now, the very first application of Lady Esther Face Cream will make a wonderful difference. Now, I don't want you to take my word for that. I want you to prove it, to see the difference in your own mirror. And the best way to see it is with my 30-second test. All you do is rub a little Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream on one side of your face, on one cheek. Don't touch the rest of your face, so you can see the contrast. Rub the face cream well in on that one cheek and wipe it dry. That's the whole test. But here's what happens. That one side of your face suddenly looks clearer, far fresher and lovelier than the other side. The dry flakes are gone. You touch it and it's velvet. Now, why this thrilling difference? Why does Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream do so much for your skin? Because Lady Esther Face Cream alone does four things. All four your skin needs most to be excitingly lovely. First, Lady Esther Face Cream cleans radiantly. Second, it softens, absorbs and removes dry flakes. Third, it helps nature refine the pores. And fourth, it leaves a wonderful smooth surface for powder to cling to. I certainly hope you can still make my 30-second test tonight. The sooner you do, the sooner you'll have a skin that's really glamorous and inviting. One that's sure to bring you lovely compliments. Don't take my word for it. Try Lady Esther four-purpose face cream yourself and prove what I say with my 30-second test.
Lady Esther presents the second act of Phantom Lady. Starring Walter Abel as Inspector Burgess, Ralph Bellamy as Jack Marlowe, Louise Albritton as Carol, and David Bruce as Scott Henderson. Carol continues our story.
Two of them dead now. Two of them who wouldn't talk anymore. And the time getting so terribly short. I felt so helpless, all alone. But the next day I had a wonderful surprise. Scott's best friend, Jack Marlowe, flew back from Rio. He was so understanding, so kind.
This thing has hit you pretty hard, hasn't it, Carol?
It's been agony, Mr. Marlowe. If I could only find that woman. One word from her. Yes, I was with him that night. And Scott would walk out a free man.
Scott said there were several people who saw her. Have you tried them all?
Oh, I tried two of them. Now they're both dead. There's only that singer left now, Estella Monteiro. If she won't talk, I don't know what I'll do.
I can tell you. You're going back to Kansas for a while and take a rest from all this.
Oh, I can't. Not until that woman's found. I can't think of anything else.
You'll wear yourself out.
I don't care if it means Scott's life.
This is a man's job. Let me handle it.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't sit by.
I tell you, I'm afraid for you, Carol.
Don't worry about me. Just find that woman. We've got to, Mr. Marlowe. The murderer would kill her if he could ever find her.
Yes, I think he would.
I suppose he'd kill me, too.
Don't say that.
Do you think I care? Do you think I'd want to live if Scott, if they... Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. I know all about it. I used to watch you sitting at your desk the way you looked at him. I don't think he's ever dreamed that you're in love.
His life. That's all that counts now. And it looks so hopeless. Someone, whoever it is, always gets there first. He's so clever.
Yes. There's genius behind such audacity.
No, not genius. Only madness.
Madness is a frightening word.
What else can you call it? To go on killing... But we will find him, all right. We'll find that woman. We'll work together, Mr. Marlowe, you and I, and Inspector Burgess.
Burgess?
He's helping unofficially. You don't mind?
Mind? Not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm glad to have him.
Good idea, Marlowe. You're taking Carol to dinner. She's been running herself ragged on this case.
I'll take her to dinner, Inspector, if she ever finishes dressing. She's been in there almost an hour.
Oh, well, girls.
She's been taking this thing pretty hard, hasn't she?
Well, I don't blame her. I thought this case would be a cinch at first. Get the lowdown on everyone. Friends, relatives. So I did. Even you, Marlowe. Though I knew you were Scott's best friend.
I was in mid-ocean when it happened.
Oh, that's not important. None of you could have committed those murders.
Why not?
You're all too normal.
Are you sure the murderer isn't normal? You know, possibly he's just very clever.
Yeah, they're always clever when they're insane.
Insane?
Paranoiacs. They all have that ego, that abnormal cunning, that contempt for life.
You make them sound unbeatable.
No, it's just the time element I'm worried about. Scott's only got a couple of weeks.
But eventually, you're quite certain you'll catch the murderer?
I'll stake my reputation on it.
You might lose.
Oh, no, I won't lose. I know his type too well. We used to talk about the criminal type. Criminal type, my eye. It's not how a man looks, but how his mind works that makes him a strangler. Someday, we'll train the mind as we train the body. And then they won't need any men like me, and that'll be all right, too. Sorry I'm all wound up tonight. Tired, I guess. You know how it is.
Yes. Yes, I think... Oh.
Marlowe, what's wrong? Easy now. Let me help you up.
I'm all right. Just got a little dizzy, that's all. I've been having these headaches.
Headaches?
Nothing serious.
Well, I'm ready. I said I'm ready. What's the matter? Is anything wrong?
Not at all, Candace. We were just talking.
Yes, I was telling Marlowe I've got to go to Philadelphia tomorrow.
Philadelphia?
Just for a day. I'm on a case. And, Carol.
Yes?
I want you to make me a promise. Don't do anything until I get back.
I suppose I should have listened to him, but I couldn't. I just couldn't sit by and wait a whole day. I thought maybe there was one person left who could tell me the truth. Estella Monteiro, the girl on the show. She would talk to me, one woman to another. So early next morning, I went to her hotel and...
Well, I'm very sorry. Miss Monteiro is gone.
Gone? Are you sure?
Her show closed last night. We're just shipping her baggage out now. It's piled up over there in the lobby.
Oh, thanks anyway. Excuse me. Is that hers, too? That hat box?
Oh, yes, yes, that's hers.
You're sure? You're absolutely sure?
Why, of course. She has all her hats made by Madame Katisha.
It was true. Katisha had made that hat. That one that Miss Monteiro had worn on the show. She had made that hat and a duplicate. I finally forced her to admit it. For Miss Anne Terry, Hillhaven, Long Island. Jack, Mr. Marlowe, drove me down. And all the way we kept asking each other, if Miss Terry had spent that evening with Scott, why hadn't she come forward to save his life? And then at last we had the answer. From Miss Terry's nurse.
She's been very ill for weeks. Quite irrational. It often happens in these cases of shock.
Shock?
Yes, her fiancé died just before their wedding. He was sick only 2 days.
Oh, that's too bad.
She seemed to take it rather well at first. Until that day she went into town. She didn't come back till late that night.
That may have been the night she met with Scott. If we could just talk to her.
Carol, if she's irrational.
Oh, that's right. Wouldn't help. Nurse, could we see Miss Terry's hats?
Why, of course. They're all here in this closet.
At least if we could find the hat, we could prove that Scott was telling the truth. Then maybe they...
Yes, miss?
The hat. There it is on the shelf. I was so terribly happy all the way back to town. But Jack, Mr. Marlowe, was acting strangely. Sort of dazed and confused. He said he was having one of his headaches. And when we got to his place, he stretched out on the divan and closed his eyes. After a while, he seemed to be asleep. So I tiptoed into the bedroom to freshen up a bit. I remember I was looking for a comb. I opened the top dresser drawer and it was there, lying in the drawer. The purse I'd lost at Cliff Milburn's place. I knew now. I knew who had murdered Cliff. I knew who had murdered Scott Henderson's wife. For a moment, I stood there frozen, terrified. And then...
Carol. Carol, what are you doing?
Just freshening up a bit. I'm coming right out. There, don't I look better? I thought you were asleep.
That light... It's my eyes. Turn it off, please.
Of course.
My tie feels like it's choking me. Mind if I take it off?
No.
Thanks. You opened the dresser drawer, didn't you, Cal?
No.
Yes. You saw what was there, the purse.
Oh, please. Please, let's not talk about it now. We can meet tomorrow. Getting late. I ought to go.
It's no use, Carol. The door is locked.
Locked? You did kill her. You did.
Burgess thinks I was on the boat. He doesn't know I got off before it sailed. She'd promised to go away with me. When I went back to get her, she laughed. She kept on laughing. I had to stop her.
You killed her. And you let them blame Scott.
What should I do? Give up my life, my work?
You let them blame Scott.
What's his life beside mine? A stupid engineer working in sewers, drain pipes, muck.
You did it all. You bribed that bartender and Cliff Milburn.
And then I flew to Havana and caught the boat there. Don't you think I was rather brilliant?
I think you're mad.
Don't say that. Don't say it, you hear?
You're mad. You're sick. Those headaches of yours, they're all part of it, aren't they?
I didn't want to hurt you, Candace. I tried to warn you. You wouldn't listen. And now...
No!
You're the only one who knows. The only one...
Open up, Marlo, open up!
Burgess.
Come on, Marlo, I know you're in there. I've been trailing you all day.
He couldn't. Clever, a spy.
All right, if I have to break it down.
That noise. Make him stop. My head. Everything's spinning. Make him stop. I can't stand it. Make him stop.
It's all over now. Scott has been cleared and we're back on the job. The same old job, the same old routine, the same old boss who doesn't dream his secretary is in love. So I start the day like any other. That means the dictaphone to get my instructions for the morning.
Hello, Candace. I won't be in today. I've got a lot of important things to tend to down at City Hall.
Well, that's that.
Don't hang up yet. I think I'm going to need you tonight. About 6:30 for dinner.
What?
8:30 for the theater.
Oh.
And after that, on to dance. Have some fun.
Oh, Scott.
I mean it, dear. Tonight, tomorrow night, and the night after that, and every night, and every night, and every night, and every night, and every night.
Thank you, Ralph Bellamy, Walter Abel, and David Bruce. And a very special bow to you, Louise Allbritton, for stepping in on a moment's notice when Ella Raines was taken ill.
Well, I'm sure anyone would have been glad to do the same thing, Mr. Bradley, for two reasons. To help out a friend, and because it's always a privilege to appear with the Lady Esther Screen Guild players. We all know the wonderful work being done by the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house and clinic, a work made largely possible by this radio program. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, a word from one of America's foremost beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Allbritton. Ladies, do you know why I keep urging you to try my 30-second test? Because seeing is believing. And I want you to see with your own eyes exactly what happens when you apply Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. I want you to take half a minute to prove how much fresher and lovelier your skin will look than it's ever looked before. You can make my simple test in the time you count 30, and surely your skin is worth it. Just do this. Rub Lady Esther four-purpose face cream on one side of your face, just one cheek. Rub it in well, and then wipe it dry. Now feel that cheek. Feel the difference? See how much smoother it is, how silky to your fingertips? Now look at that side of your face in your mirror. Compare it with the other cheek. Why, half your face is radiant. Now, you may doubt promises, but you can't doubt what you see with your own eyes. So I hope you won't wait to make my 30-second test. Make it right now, if you possibly can. You'll see for yourself, no matter how much you've paid for other face creams, there's one that will make your skin far lovelier. Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present the Oxbow Incident. It will star William Ives, Harry Davenport, and Edward Arnold. Be sure to listen. Louise Allbritton and David Bruce appeared through the courtesy of Universal Pictures, producers of the Mary Monahans. Ralph Bellamy appeared through the courtesy of Charles R. Rogers Productions and is currently working in their picture, High Among the Stars. Walter Abel appeared through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, producers of the Technicolor production, Frenchman's Creek. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Your druggist should have Lady Esther for Purpose Face Cream. If he hasn't, all he need do is write or wire Lady Esther, Chicago, and he will be supplied. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.